Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, more than you could have expected, a year ago, my brother said, "Let's go to Disney World." He wanted the whole family to go. And we haven't done a big Disney vacation with my family, with our kids' cousins. Well, okay, in 2013, we spent one day going to the Magic Kingdom, Epcot, and the studios. 2008, we spent a night in the Magic Kingdom for Mickey's not-so-scary Halloween party. But that was it. This week-long Disney family reunion, well, it was going to be more than you could have expected. But COVID hit, and Walt Disney World closed, and we were left wondering what would happen. Would they open? As the weeks went by, we wondered. And then they began to make some announcements that the parks would be open, but our hotel would not be open. It would be closed. So after long hours of waiting on the phone, Disney upgraded us to a 2-bedroom villa at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, a villa where our living room looked out on the savanna where we could see 5 giraffes eating. It was so cool. And the parks, they were open. They were limited in their attendance, but we had a reservation, and we were able to get in, which meant that there were little to no lines. We walked on to ride after ride. Twice, we walked on to Space Mountains. 3 times, we walked on to Expedition Everest. 3 times in a row, and 4 times in a row, we went on to Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. No waiting. We avoided the wait that should have been there. And social distancing, well, it was well thought out. Temperatures were taken as you entered each and every one of the parks. Masks were worn at all times. Plexiglass divided us from other people in the parks. And when we returned, we tested negative for COVID-19. But before we went, I wondered what this was going to be like. There's the 17 of us at our 2020 family reunion, alone in the hub before Cinderella Castle, all wearing our masks, but not many other people around. I had a few doubts about the trip, but the reality was, it was more than you could have expected. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Little crowds and the whole family, all the cousins, aunts, uncles, grandma, and grandpa. It was more than you could have expected. Our text this week tells us of an account that is more than you could have expected. John the Baptist, the forerunner and proclaimer of Christ, had been executed, made shorter by a head, and the beheading of a prophet like John. Well, it's big news. The word gets out all around Galilee, hears, and Jesus hears about it too. But you know, that's the way it goes with God's prophets. Zechariah was stoned on the porch of the temple, an order given by King Joash. And oh yeah, the prophet Isaiah, well, he was sawn asunder, split into 2, and the magician's act could not put him back. And the unnumbered, unnamed prophets of the Lord were put to death by Jezebel during the time of Elijah. How much more with Christ, the Savior himself? He is rejected in his own hometown of Nazareth. He has become the object of superstitious fear at King Herod's court. For Herod senses that the powers that he feared in John have returned from the dead in the person of Jesus. what's happening in Nazareth and at the king's court is happening all over Israel. Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, is being rejected. So he withdraws himself, goes off by himself, takes a boat ride to be all by himself, perhaps to mourn John's death, his own cousin, perhaps to contemplate what will happen to him. After all, he knows where his ministry is leading, and it's taking him to the cross, betrayal, brutal suffering, a horrific cruciform death. He just wants to be by himself for just a little while, but it doesn't last long. Crowds from the cities look for him, crowds, a whole mass of people, and Jesus comes back to the shore, and as usual, Jesus has compassion on them. Splachnidzomai, bowels, bounding from his bowels is compassion, more than you could have ever expected. He's not there for himself. He's come as the Christ for the people, for all people, whether they reject him or receive him. And after a long day of the crowds, they're still there. The place is desolate. There's no shops, no stores, and everyone is hungry. So Jesus tells his disciples, "You feed them." And their answer, "With what? We have so little. All we have are 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. That's it. Nothing else. How could we feed these folks with that? We can't possibly do it, Jesus." You see, they can't trust Jesus with 5 loaves and 2 fish. How about you? How is it in your life? What is it in your life that seems so immense that you won't bother Jesus? What problem is so gargantuan that you can't tell Jesus? What sin is it that you won't trust with Jesus? Too big for Jesus, you say? Too hard for Jesus? Nonsense. With Jesus, there's always more than enough, and even more than you ever could expect. Whether it's your sin or guilt, death or hell, or even 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed thousands, Jesus is bigger, a bigger Savior than we ever could imagine. Jesus is bigger than our problems, our needs. Jesus is bigger than our sin, our doubt, our fear. Jesus is bigger than our past, our plans, or our pain. Jesus is bigger than death. Jesus is bigger. And his compassion has no bounds. Bring the bread and the fish. Sit on the grass, everyone. Relax. I'll take care of you. And then he looks heavenward, and he blesses the food, and he breaks the bread, and he says to his disciples, "Start handing it out to these poor folks." The miracle happens as Jesus makes as little fuss as possible. No hocus pocus, no lengthy prayer, no holy exhortation like, "I'll feed you, now give me your heart." Just break it up, pass it around, and they all ate and were satisfied. Jesus took care of them, and much more than they ever could have expected. Can you trust a Jesus with only 5 loaves and 2 fish? Can you? Yes, and with anything else. In fact, with everything, especially the most troubling problems of all, sin, death, and hell. For that, there's Calvary. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Salvation accomplished. Salvation achieved. He died for you. Your sin is His, so that His death becomes yours. And now today, He says to come forward, to take a little bread and a little bit of wine. What is that in the midst of all of your enormous problems and sins? It's the Lord's Supper, His body, His blood, and His promise, His hospitality, His inviting you in, His forgiveness of sins, His salvation, His life everlasting for you. God's grace for you. His compassion for you knows no bounds. No problem, no sin, no guilt, no death is too big for Jesus. You can trust Him with anything and everything. With Jesus, there's always more. More than you could have ever expected. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen.